Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Visit the Boston Harbor Islands National Park area and enjoy more than 150 free programs and activities all summer. Come on out to the islands and explore. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information. By the Brookline Bird Club, the largest bird club in Massachusetts, with membership open to all who are interested in birds and nature. The club sponsors year-round field trips covering the entire state, with walks every day during peak spring migration. Brooklinebirdclub.org.
We're presenting a Best of Talking Birds show this morning, so we won't be taking any phone calls. Hope you like this archived program. We'll be back live next week.
Good morning. Welcome to our show, number 481. Well, on last week's show, we were graced by the presence of Dr. Ron Johnson, who told us about his invention that came to be known as the house sparrow halo, an assemblage consisting of a large ring from which are hung strands of monofilament, resulting in the disappearance of house sparrows from your feeders. Oop, there they are. They're back, I guess. While the house sparrows won't go to your feeder, other birds will. It's a pretty good system. Well, we heard from Ron a couple of days ago, and he said, please ask your listeners to let us know if they've tried the sparrow halo or some variation of it and how it worked. So please tell us, Talking Birds listeners, have you tried it or some variation of it? Ron talked about using coat hangers as an alternative to those strands of monofilament. It's a kind of a wacky thing, but still haven't figured out exactly why it works. But we just know it does work. So if you've tried it, let us know your experience. We want to pass that along to Ron, and as he continues to research this. You can send us an email, ray@talkingbirds.com, or get to us on Facebook or Twitter at Talking Birds, or call us right here at 781-837-4900. That's 781-837-4900. Well, you can't separate the birds from the bees, and I guess we shouldn't try. If bees are in trouble, can birds be far behind, and can humans be far behind? It's well known that honeybees, so vital in the production of food for humans, from onions to Brussels sprouts, from cherries to watermelon, have seen dramatic declines in population, especially as demonstrated by something called colony collapse disorder, in which worker bees from honeybee colonies abruptly disappear. There seems to be increasing evidence now that a group of pesticides called neonicotinoids may be responsible for this massive die-off of bees. Professor Alex Liu of the Harvard School of Public Health has published a paper examining the connection between these pesticides and honeybee die-off. He noticed that the first signs of colony collapse disorder corresponded perfectly with the rise in 2005 of these neonicotinoids, which save money for farmers because instead of spraying the pesticide, they can use it to coat the seeds or they can add it to irrigation water. Well, Dr. Liu says the only way to prevent bees from being exposed to those pesticides is not to use them. And he compares them to DDT, the now banned, at least here in the U.S., pesticide associated with the near extinction of many bird species. As Dr. Liu put it, for neonicotinoids, I think we are looking at DDT right now. I mean, the best way to deal with DDTs is not to use DDT. I think neonicotinoids fall into the same category. The word from Dr. Liu there at Harvard School of Public Health, Dr. Alex Liu. Meanwhile, we have maybe some good news about Monarch butterflies. President Obama last week issued a formal presidential memorandum which requires federal departments and authorities to figure out how to protect pollinators, and he specifically included the monarch butterfly. Anurag Agrawal, who's a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Cornell University, calls it a landmark memorandum and very good news. Monarch researchers had noted record low numbers of monarchs overwintering in the Mexican mountains, a decline blamed variously on deforestation south of the border, global warming, bad weather, GMO crops, and the decline of milkweed, on which monarch caterpillars feed. Professor Agrawal says there are some anecdotal signs that the butterflies are making a comeback after several years of decline. So a presidential order and some evidence of population increases gives hopes that monarchs may, just may, be making a comeback. Stay tuned. Well, here's reason number 467, we'll call it, why calling somebody a bird brain might actually be a compliment. Sarah Takushi writes in part, researchers in the budding field of quantum biology hypothesize that birds are capable of using properties of quantum mechanics to help them make their extraordinary annual migrations. In particular, researchers speculate that quantum entanglement can influence light-sensitive molecules within the eyes of birds and help them to see the Earth's magnetic fields. How amazing is that? If you'd like to read the whole post, including a definition of quantum entanglement, go to our Talkin' Birds Facebook page. Here's our conservation quote of the week. The truth is, the natural world is changing, and we are totally dependent on that world. It provides our food, water, and air. It is the most precious thing we have, and we need to defend it. That's a quote from the great naturalist and broadcaster, David Attenborough. Well, still to come on our show today, our man Mike O'Connor from Cape Cod's Birdwatchers General Store will appear in an archived segment of Let's Ask Mike that we're calling, is that the world's biggest hummingbird? We'll also hear another story about unusual hummingbird behavior later. As always, we'll give away another fabulous feeder from Droll Yankees in our Mystery Bird Contest. And up next, we'll learn the connection between a tree in Mississippi and today's featured feathered friend.
When the great ornithologist Alexander Wilson collected a beautiful warbler in a magnolia tree in 1810, he named it, the Black and Yellow Warbler. But he didn't ignore the tree entirely. He used it for the bird's scientific name, Psittophaga magnolia. And eventually the bird's common name became the one we know today, Magnolia warbler. Male magnolia warblers have been described as having two songs, one in courtship and around the nest, and another slightly different song that may be intended as a defense against other males. The magnolia warbler has made appearances on the covers of numerous publications, including the new second edition Sibley Guide to Birds, and understandably so. It's a strikingly beautiful bird, with the intensely colored male sporting a blue-gray crown, yellow throat, black-streaked yellow underparts, a yellow rump, and dark wings with two prominent white wing bars. The magnolia warbler's favorite food appears to be caterpillars, supplemented by beetles, butterflies, spiders, and bits of coniferous tree branches in the breeding season, and then fruit and nectar during the winter stay in southern Mexico and the Caribbean. Alexander Wilson found this bird in Mississippi, and he had no way of knowing that it would travel a long way from there in its northward spring migration, heading for its breeding grounds way up in the northeastern U.S. and across most of Canada, leaving that tree that gave it its name far behind. The Magnolia Warbler. Cetophaga magnolia. Today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend.
Welcome again. Thanks for being with us here on our show, number 481. I want to remind you to check out our Talkin' Birds Facebook page. We have a lot going on there and lots of great photos and some amazing stories posted by our associate Emma Morgan Stern on our Facebook page, Talkin' Birds. And follow us on Twitter as well, at Talkin' Birds, and also now on Instagram. We're getting out there in a few different ways, and we have some pretty interesting stuff right now on our Facebook page, including a story about flamingos, which, as you may know, get their gorgeous pink coloration from the food that they eat. We have a story on that on our Facebook page. We also have a story about the Bicknell's thrush and some new discoveries about that bird in the state of Vermont. And, of course, it's the 4th of July weekend, so we can't go without saying something about our great American symbol, the bald eagle. We have a posting on there about bald eagles being born this 4th of July weekend in New York. And the bald eagle, obviously, such a magnificent creature, but it's kind of disappointing when you hear the sound that a bald eagle makes. Not what you'd expect. You'd think it'd be some macho-sounding roar, but it actually sounds more like this. Not really too impressive, you know, as you might think. That's why in movies and such, they often substitute this sound for the bald eagle sound. A little more impressive. It's got a little more oomph to it. That's the sound of a red-tailed hawk, often substituted for lots of birds of prey in movies and other programs and such. Well, thanks again for being with us. And up next, it's our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
Public ferry service to the Boston Harbor Islands has ended for the season, but you can still visit the beautiful Boston Harbor Islands peninsulas open year-round. World's End in Hingham, Deer Island in Winthrop, Webb Memorial Park in Weymouth, and Nut Island in Quincy. They're connected to the mainland and accessible by car, offering stunning views of Boston Harbor and its islands, plus birding, hiking, biking, and cross-country skiing. Enjoy your national park all year long. For more information, please visit bostonharborislands.org.
Here on Talkin' Birds Now, a message from our friends at Ducks Unlimited.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been a world leader in wetlands conservation, ensuring safe passage for nature's most beautiful creations, protection against flooding, and sanctuary for the human soul. If we don't want to grow old in a world without wild places, we must speak up, we must step up, so that we may fill the skies for generations to come.
On to our mystery bird contest. First, a word that Talkin' Birds is also made possible by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a world leader in the study, appreciation, and conservation of birds. Please check them out at birds.cornell.edu. That's birds.cornell.edu. So every week on the
show, we're presenting a Best of Talkin' Birds show this morning, so we won't be taking any phone calls. Hope you like this archived program. We'll be back live next week.
Yeah, been a winner on Talkin' Birds in this year of 2014. Well, you would be eligible to win this contest. And remember, even if you're not at all sure what the bird is, give us a call anyway, because a drawing will determine the winner if no one gets the correct answer. And that does happen sometimes. We urge you to call early in the process here. Don't wait and let us run out of time. The number is 781-837-4900. The prize today is one of these big Droll Yankees feeders, a new generation 15-inch thistle or Niger seed feeder with all the great Droll Yankees attributes like zinc die-cast tops and bases and ports to last a lifetime. And by the way, if anything goes wrong with your Droll Yankees feeder, you can send it to them and they'll fix it for you. And I think they'll often even send out a new one if that's necessary. That's how they kind of work it there. And those are really the best bird feeders on the planet that I know about. 781-837-4900, the number to call, and here is the sound of our mystery bird. Our mystery bird is a bright, buttery-colored little songbird with a thin, pointed bill. The male has chestnut-colored streaks on its side. The female might also have a little streaking, but not very noticeably. Our mystery bird has a black eye and a black bill. It's a neotropical migrant that breeds pretty much all over North America, wintering down in the tropics. Our bird feeds mostly on insects gleaned from foliage or sometimes captured on short hovering flights. That's our mystery bird. What do you think it is? Tell us what it is or take a guess and give us a call. It's 781-837-4900, 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we'll check in with Mike O'Connor down at the Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod for a little segment from the archives of Talking Birds. I think I need to push this Do Not Disturb button here, maybe. That's better. Let's ask Mike in just 1 minute.
Here's an idea from your coffee-loving friends here at Talking Birds. Give a great gift this year. Give Birds and Beans coffee. If you're having friends and family in for the holidays or looking for something special to bring to the neighbors, how about great-tasting coffee that's also great for the birds we love and the environment we all share? For $115, including shipping, you'll receive 12 bags of Birds and Beans coffee, the good coffee. You get 2 bags each of Wood Thrush Breakfast Roast and American Red Start Light Roast, 3 bags each of Scarlet Tanager French Roast and Chestnut Sided Warbler Medium Roast, plus 2 bags of Baltimore Oriole French Roast Decaf, ground and ready to brew, or whole bean if you prefer. Regular cost $160.55, so you save over $45 on Birds and Beans shade-grown organic fair trade coffee. The offer is good until 9 a.m. Tuesday, December 16th. All orders will be shipped to arrive by Christmas Eve. Get your order going now at birdsandbeans.com. That's birdsandbeans.com.
Time for the segment of our show we call Let's Ask Mike. It features and stars Mike O'Connor from the famous, the legendary Birdwatchers General Store in Orleans, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, Ray, what you got?
Question here from not far away from our neighborhood here in Kingston, Massachusetts, on the South Shore. It's from Martha. She says, "Hi, Ray, I'm attaching a photo of a woodpecker at our hummingbird feeder. Usually we get lots of hummingbirds, but here was this woodpecker sucking up the water and ignoring our very popular bird water dishes, which I rinse several times a day a few feet away. What does Mike have to say about this? Love everything about your show," says Martha from Kingston. Sounds like a little excessive rinsing or something there. I don't know.
I was going to compliment her on that.
Yeah.
Because people complain about bird baths. Like, oh, I don't want to get mosquitoes. Well, you know, it takes about 2 weeks for mosquitoes to go through their breeding cycle. So if you don't clean your bird bath out more than once every 2 weeks, you deserve malaria or whatever you get from
that. Eastern equine and stuff.
Yeah, you deserve that. No, good for you, Martha, cleaning out those things. Yeah, you know what's interesting about the woodpeckers? The first time, that's how dumb I am. The first time I heard about woodpeckers going to hummingbird feeders, they're not going for the water, Martha, as much as they're going for the sugar water.
The nectar.
And the first time I heard, I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of weird. And then I realized, you know, what bird eats more sweet sugar than hummingbirds is sapsuckers. Sapsuckers live off of sap from the trees, and you know, sapsuckers are indeed woodpeckers.
Yeah.
So the woodpeckers are clearly like sweet water or nectar or sap. So they discover it in what is interesting in the spring when they used to think hummingbirds migrated based on, you know, the flowers went into bloom, the hummingbirds would migrate to follow the flower. But it turns out they follow the woodpeckers, especially the sapsuckers, because they create the sugar, the sap in the trees, and then the hummingbirds come and eat from that as they migrate north.
Yeah, they call it, what do they call them, a keystone species, I think, because they, so many other birds depend on what they do.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Yeah.
No, I think so. If it wasn't for the sapsuckers, it would screw up their migration.
Yeah.
So, and conversely, now the other woodpeckers have turned in, for want of a better word, copycats. because they see the hummingbirds going to what they, you know, they go, well, the hummingbirds know where there's something sweet, so the woodpeckers are following their lead, and they say, well, if it's sweet for them, it might be sweet for us, and they do it. And a lot of birds, as more and more people are putting out hummingbird feeders, they're getting more and more birds. I know people get chickadees and finches and assorted other birds are now kind of thinking, wow, there you go. These guys are doing it. I'm going to try it. Mm. And I don't know. There might be a whole new market for other kinds of nectar feeders than just the hummingbirds now. But it's not hugely common, Martha, but more and more people are reporting it, especially in the Northeast. It's not common. I think down south in the Southwest, a lot of people get that out there. The acorn woodpeckers and stuff out there are doing it. But here it's a little bit unusual, but they're figuring out. It's kind of a learned behavior now.
Yeah, and she's got the photo to prove it there.
Yeah, what does it look like? Is she lying or has it been photoshopped or anything like that?
I don't remember seeing the photo.
Oh.
Talk to you next week.
Sounds cool.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Martha, sorry about the photo there. I'm sure I looked at it at one point, but now I've kind of lost track of it. I'm going to try to have to look again at that nice picture that you took of the woodpecker. Little archived segment of Let's Ask Mike. Send your questions in to Mike, and Mike will answer them right here on Talkin' Birds. And not only that, but we'll send you a signed copy of Mike's newest book, and that is Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me? Mike answers all kinds of questions like the one that you just heard and many others. So send your question in. Ray@talkinbirds.com is the email address for that, or you can do it through our Facebook or Twitter pages as well, if you like. Meanwhile, we're back here at the Mystery Bird Contest. Can we hear that mystery bird again there, Ryan? Our mystery bird is a bright, buttery-colored little songbird with a thin, pointed bill. The male has chestnut-colored streaks on its side. The female might also have a little streaking, but not very noticeably. Our mystery bird has a black eye and a black bill. It's a neotropical migrant. It comes up here from the tropics. It breeds pretty much all over North America. It feeds mostly on insects gleaned from foliage or captured on short, hovering flights. What do you think it is? 781-837-4900 is the number. And the prize this morning, the new generation 15-inch thistle or Niger seed feeder from Droll Yankees. John is in Hanover, Massachusetts here this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How's the 4th of July weekend going?
That was wonderful. I just got back from Warren, Maine.
Ah, Warren, Maine. Where is that?
Right near Rockland.
Near Rockland, okay. I know.
Waldoboro, the great town of Waldoboro.
The great town of Waldoboro up there. Nice. Were you doing a little birding up there or other stuff?
A little birding.
Nice. Anything hot to report?
Yeah, I saw a bald eagle yesterday on the 4th on the side of the road.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful.
Just
wonderful.
Standing there, kind of, or?
Yeah, it was eating some carnage, you know.
Yeah, right. All right. Let's see. We're on our mystery bird. Now, you probably figured out this is not a bald eagle that we're talking about here, John. But
no.
What do you think it is?
I guessed at a goldfinch, but then I heard the second sample of the chirp there. I changed my mind.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what it would be. When you said the thin bill, a goldfinch doesn't have a thin bill.
Right, yeah. Get that thick, finchy bill.
Right. I would change it to like a, some sort of warbler.
Oh, any particular kind?
I guess at the northern warbler.
Northern warbler. No, that is not it.
But you're magnolia. I heard you talking about magnolia.
Right. Yeah, we're all warblery today, so.
Yeah.
John, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right. 781-837-4900 is the number. We have Alan somewhere in Canada, it says here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. That's a big country up there. Whereabouts are you up there in Canada?
I'm actually in the Memramcook Valley, which is the Acadian country there. It's in New Brunswick, so it's a French part of Canada.
Oh, my goodness. This is not an Alan that I know, is it?
No, well, maybe I follow you on Twitter. I'm at Acadian Birder on Twitter. I don't know. We've interacted before.
Okay. No, I have a colleague named Alan, and he travels up to Canada a lot, and your voice sounded a little bit like his, but just a doppelganger, I guess.
No, I'm so happy to be able to talk to you, Ray. I've been listening to you on podcast for since the beginning, really.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's the first time this morning that I actually catch the show live.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
I was really thrilled to be able to come through.
I'm glad you did. And you know, it's interesting because we were having some monumental pre-air problems this morning getting our stream going. So I'm extra happy that thanks to our great engineer, Ryan, here, we got that going this morning.
Yeah, it's working really, really well. Even though we had Hurricane Arthur yesterday here in our region,
mm-hmm.
Which kind of destroyed a little bit of communication systems here and there. But no, I was able to catch you really live and for the first time.
Very nice. Well, welcome, Alan. And what about our mystery bird? What do you say?
Well, you know, it's not the dialect of that bird that we hear up here in New Brunswick, because that's a nester that I have in my backyard. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give it a try, even though it's not the same song. That sounded really much like a yellow warbler.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty good. You got right through that whatever New England dialect there and figured that out. Sweet, sweet,
see,
a little
here,
more.
Here, they very clearly say, sweet, 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 I am so sweet.
Yeah, or sweet, 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 a little more sweet, some people say. Yep.
Exactly. I kind of caught that in there. So and it fit the physical description. So I'm thrilled. That's a very nice thing for me this morning. It was my birthday yesterday. So
oh my goodness! Wow.
First time I'm listening to Ray Brown live, and I win the feeder.
Nice work. It's all coming together up there in New Brunswick.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you so much, Alan. Stay on the line. We will get your address and send that feeder out to you.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Ray.
Okay. Take care, Alan. All right. That's Alan up there in New Brunswick, Canada, correctly identifying the yellow warbler, a pretty common warbler in these parts here in New England, I think over most of the U.S., an early arriving warbler, but a really beautiful one at the same time. One of the big problems this bird has, its nests are frequently parasitized by the brown-headed cowbird, that brood parasite that lays its eggs only in the nests of other birds and never builds its own nests. However, the yellow warbler does have a way to fight back against this a little bit, and what it does sometimes, it will build a new nest right on top of the one that was parasitized, sometimes resulting in, ready, nests that are 6 layers deep. Take that, brown-headed cowbirds. The yellow warbler, today's mystery bird. Thanks again for being with us as we get ready to wrap up our program in just a few seconds here. Just a reminder again, we really appreciate hearing from you. Let us know how we're doing here on the show and what we can do better. Send us an email, ray@talkingbirds.com is the email address. And be sure to visit us on our Talking Birds Facebook page. A lot of cool stuff there. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram, where we're posting lots of pretty nice pictures, maybe some from you. Next week,
hope you like this archived program. We'll be back live next week.
And some other birding friends started what he says is the first birding club in his state. You might be surprised when you hear which state it is. I certainly was surprised when I heard about it. That'll be on our show next week. The executive producer of Talking Birds is Mark Duffield. Our engineer is the great Ryan Stanton. I'm Ray Brown. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday morning.
The Bird Show. I like that. I love it.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible through the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. And by Blackstones of Beacon Hill in Boston. Providing unique gifts and accessories for area residents and visitors for over 20 years. BlackstonesBeaconHill.com.
The wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of thy wings, singing go bird.
Talking birds, I love that show.